Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome on in to Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin. We're brought to you tonight, as always, by Mealy's Furniture. Spike, all the styles you love?
For less. I got nervous there when you said brought to you tonight. I thought something may have changed. I was like, where is Mealy's?
Brought to you every night.
Whew.
Every Wednesday, 6 to 7, Mealy's is with us.
All right. I mean, we
have the Mealy's couches in here just for this hour.
There's only so many things you can count on this life, and being able to get the styles that I love for less is right at the top of my list.
That's true. I mean, there's not many things that you know will be the same all the time. One is Mealy's with us, and
yep.
Two would be the Sixers losing to the Celtics, because that seems like it happens every single time they play, or at least close to it. And Spike, last night was really frustrating, not just because the Sixers lost the game that they were 6.5-point favorites in, but last night was frustrating because the Celtics were as down as they've been in a long time. After they blew a 28-point lead to the Clippers last week. Marcus Morris talking about how they're all individuals. They're not on the same page. They come here last night.
Yeah, lost to the Lakers, missing Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
Marcus Morris saying that everybody hates each other.
And they come here and they win. And they just rip the game away from the Sixers every time they play. And today, of course, has been reaction and anger and annoyance. And look, the Brett Brown conversation, we have 10 ways every week about Brett Brown and what he is. Last night wasn't on Brett to me. You know, last night was not on Brett Brown losing that game. This is about the players, Spike. The players are not playing well enough in this game, and specifically last night, some of their star players didn't play well. Jimmy Butler played well, but missed free throws. Ben Simmons played okay, and Joel Embiid, for as good as he was in the fourth quarter, Joel Embiid, his own words, he said he sleptwalked through the first three quarters, and then at the end of the game, I'm tired of watching Joel try to draw a foul, and when it doesn't happen, it's the ref's fault. Like, it's not always the ref's fault, Joel. Like, he didn't play well enough last night. They need him to be better.
We can't walk around talking about, oh, we have four stars. We might even have five stars. We're the Fantastic Five, and we have the most stars in the Eastern Conference and the best starting lineup in the Eastern Conference, and no matter who they play, they're going to have the best two players on the court in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And then when it comes down to it, when they lose against one of the good teams, we say, well, it's the coach not putting them in position to win. Like, the Cleveland Cavaliers won a championship with Ty Lue as the head coach, and I don't even know what he was doing half of the time. The NBA is a players' league. It comes down to the players. You either have one of the three best coaches in the league, one of the three worst coaches in the league, or somewhere in the middle. And you can win a championship with somewhere in the middle. If Joel Embiid is an MVP candidate and Ben Simmons is a top 15 player, then they have to go in and not accept that the Boston Celtics have just figured them out. And it's the same thing every time they play them. Joel, whether it is, and by the way, this isn't just the Celtics. When they're playing the Toronto Raptors, well, they figured Ben out, and Jonas Valanciunas figured out, before they had Marcus Gasol,
yep,
figured out Joel Embiid.
And now they have a better version of that guy in Marcus Gasol. It's not going to be any different.
Right, and if it's not Al Horford, it's Aaron Baines. Right, it's not just Al Horford who's good. It doesn't matter. Whoever those two guys in situations like this, I never even hear a Brett Brown like criticism. That there's some legitimate ones out there, but nothing major and nothing that makes any sense. It comes down to the players.
Yeah, and it just bothers me that we sit here and we talk about Brett compared to the players and what they do. And I I saw a lot today. Well, Brett's got to put them in better positions. You know what I never hear? I never hear anyone blame Mike D'Antoni when James Harden has a bad playoff series. I never hear anyone blame coaches when, like, Joel's not just a good player. He's a great player. You said it. He's an MVP candidate. He can't sleepwalk through the first three quarters of the game. And then when they lose, it's like, well, what happened? Well, that's what happened.
Right.
Joel didn't play well last night.
Right. I agree with you. This is like, it comes down to a point where when you say they have that much talent, that talent should win out. Boston Celtics are a good team. absolutely a good team. I think they're. I still think they're going to win the East. I thought they're going to win the East beforehand. But when you look at the top level talent, the top five guys, it's really not comparable in that game last night between the Sixers,
especially without
and the
Kyrie.
Celtics. Right? They have to win that game. I don't think you can put it on the coach. The Sixers do have some weak spots. I mean, the Celtics don't really have an exploitable person on defense on their entire roster, and the Sixers had to play three of them last night in Korkmaz and Redick and TJ McConnell. There's really nothing that Brett can do about that. That is a weakness. But if you're going to have a top-heavy lineup, those guys are going to have to come through for you when you need them, and they didn't come through.
888-729-9494, #9494. Who's more to blame for last night, the players or the coach, or Brett Brown? Lewis is in West Oak Lane. He's up first tonight and writes to Ricky Sanchez Radio. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, how's everything?
Good, Lewis. What's up, man?
Well, I'm going to have to nail this on the coach. Brett Brown's not understanding the physicality factor. Every team has a physicality rating from 1 to 10. Boston's like a 9. You have to keep moving on a team like that. Cut through the middle. They like to pack the rim. Cut through the middle. Everybody keep moving. While you're moving, look for the ball. You can't play Boston the same way you play the Brooklyn Nets. And every time Brett Brown comes out there, they're looking for Embiid. You have to be moving at all times. Don't look for a set player. Everybody can shoot. You'll find yourself, somebody's going to find themselves open. When you're running your man, Boston likes to get up on you close. Keep moving. They can't tackle you. They can't grab your shirt. So while they're chasing you, their backs are turned. Run to the half court. Run back down to the corner. Get them tripping over their own feet. And that's how you beat a team like Boston. Because they're Oklahoma City is like an 8. Boston's like a 9, and it takes movement.
Well, the Sixers do move, Lewis. It's not like they're playing isolation basketball. They do move. I don't think it's their offensive system that's not good enough. It's the way they're playing in these games. Like, their best players didn't play well enough last night.
True. I think that by a little more movement with the Sixers, Ben Simmons finds himself not being much help. Because he tends to get frustrated. He's standing still. He has to move a little bit
well,
more.
Well, but that's on him. It's not all the coach. Lewis, I appreciate it. Every time a player doesn't play well, we can't say the coach has got to do something different. The players also have to adjust. It's an on-court game.
You can watch the other games and tell that they know what to do to be effective. They're playing a team that is trying to stop them from doing it. So it takes more effort and it takes better execution to do it against the Celtics than it does against the Lakers. But this team is not one that doesn't move.
Like that's one thing they definitely do.
They pass more than any other team in the NBA. They move. And to Ben Simmons' credit, we've talked about on the show, to Ben Simmons' credit, he's been better off the ball that this year than I ever imagined he would be. He's done a lot off of that. But when the other team is better at defending that, you can't just give up. I just don't know how it can be, how we can say when they play the Nuggets and the Lakers, wow, this team is definitely going to go to the finals. They may even give the Warriors a run while Brett Brown is the coach. And then when they play the Celtics and they lose, Brett Brown is completely just must be replaced.
You forgot. He doesn't coach during the wins.
Oh, right.
That's
all right.
The players.
The
he comes in the losses and he ruins everything the players are trying to do. 888-729-9494. That is how you get aboard. Let's talk to Nick in Glassboro. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I felt like last night the entire team was sleepwalking through at least the first three quarters. It was terrible, man. I mean, I'm watching Ben Simmons make the laziest passes, and I just felt like they weren't locked in, weren't focused. It was just night and day from the Lakers game. Now, Celtics play much better defense, and I thought that made a difference, but they really, you know, they didn't show me enough effort. I was watching guys, you know, standing there staring at guys taking three-pointers instead of rotating. Just things like that. So I was disappointed in that showing last night.
I was too. I mean, and then I think the whole team, Nick, that's a good way to put it. The whole team didn't have great effort in the first half. It looked like one team, Spike, last night was desperate for a win, and the other team wasn't.
I think the thing with Simmons, I don't think it's an effort issue. There is something about the way the Celtics defend him that, like, almost rob him of his powers. I think they take away his confidence. I don't think he knows what to do against the Celtics.
The whole team is in their heads. Right. They could say they're not, but they are.
Oh, they definitely are. But they asked Brett last night if he thought the team was intimidated, and he said no. And I agree. I don't think they go home intimidated, but I think they're frustrated and confused for sure.
And I don't think they could beat them. You know, Brett could say, and I know last night he said it's a different team now. This group is new. The guys that have been here for a while, I don't think deep down they think they could beat the Celtics.
And it's going to have to be the guys that were here. Jimmy Butler's a nice player. Tobias Harris is a nice player. All these guys, J.J. Redick is a nice player. They're fine. But if those were guys that would go in and win you a playoff series, those guys would have won playoff series. Jimmy Butler's won 2 playoff series in 7 years. Tobias Harris has won 0 in 7 years. And J.J. Redick is what? Probably won...
Three
with the Clippers, something like these are not guys that are going to win the playoff series for you. If they are going to get through the Eastern Conference, it is Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are going to have to get them through it. And they have not, in these biggest games, they have not done it.
Yeah, those three players you mentioned, they probably have close to 20 years combined of experience in the
more
NBA.
More than 20.
Redick's been around for 12 years.
Yeah, and Jimmy is seven, and Redick is 7.
That's like 25 years,
yeah.
And they've won 5-6 combined playoff series.
Right.
It's not a lot. 888-729-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Kenyatta in Northeast Philly. What's up, Kenyatta?
Hey, how y'all doing? First time caller, long time listener. How are you?
Good. Well, appreciate your call. What's up tonight?
Brett Brown offense. It stinks. You're taking your best player from the paint to the 3-point line for a handoff to J.J. Redick between 5 to 13 times a game. Why is that?
Because, first of all, Joel Embiid has more post-ups than any other player in the entire NBA. So he's number one.
I'm not just talking about post-ups.
Can I finish? I don't know what to tell you. Okay. So he has more post-ups than any other player in the entire NBA. J.J. Redick and the J.J. Redick-Joel Embiid action, that dribble handoff thing, is probably the most effective part of the Sixers' offense. Because J.J. Redick is not a super proficient ball handler, they can't run pick and roll with him because he's not that kind of player. So it's essentially running a pick and roll just without the dribbling. It gets J.J. Redick open shots, and because they drift towards Redick, oftentimes it can create a lane for Embiid to get through to get it. They have more points, I would bet, off of that specific action and especially efficiency than any other thing they do on offense.
Okay, I agree with you. But if the jump shot's not falling, we lose. If Brett Brown had 4 championships as an assistant under Pop, you know why? Because Tim Duncan gets the ball around the basket. He sees the double team coming. We usually have a cutter coming down the lane when Duncan gets double teamed. We don't see that with the Sixers. And being a double team, he's throwing a cross-court pass to the other 3-point
Well, Kenyatta, line. The other part of what you're saying, and you're not wrong about how you described those Spurs teams, Joel Embiid's not Tim Duncan yet. Like, we can hope and we could pray he becomes Tim Duncan. He's not as proficient with the basketball in his hand. He turns the ball over. Tim Duncan almost never did.
Yeah, a lot of the reason there's not a ton of motion when Joel is posting up is because he is not as good a passer. Yeah, actually, he's a good passer,
good.
But he does not have the same sort of vision that you would need him to have and not be as good enough a passer yet to be able to hit those guys. As good as Embiid is, and he's probably the fifth, sixth, seventh best player in the NBA right now, he's done it with, you know what, just over a full season of basketball total, of NBA basketball. I mean, total, was he played 125 games,
he's
maybe,
still
or
125
really
raw
games?
As
yeah,
a player.
I worry that that they are really good, that Joel and Ben are really good, but not quite as good as they need to be at this point yet to get them where we think they might want to go.
And unfortunately, they went all in this year. They traded away assets, they traded away players, and now they're all in to try to win. And these players, the guys here, have to be better. 888-729-9494. Let's grab Lance, who's up next. What's up, Lance?
Hey, my point was, I love Brett Brown, but my biggest problem last night was you're on an 18-4 run, and instead of making the Celtics adjust to what you're doing, because they had no answers at that run, he decides to substitute bringing guys And that's when this game, to me, changed, because that's when Boston got back into it. They were down by six. If you extend that run going on, let's say you just add 6 points, it's 12 points. They might not recover, because the way they've been playing, they might just go against each other. And that's a problem to me, where you didn't need to make the adjustment. The Celtics had to make the adjustment to you, and you did it for them, and that hurts you.
Lance, that's not untrue, but like when Jimmy Butler misses three free throws in the final minutes to essentially win or tie the game, and Tobias Harris, who we're all patting each other on the back that we got, you know, one of the best 3-point shooters in the league, shoots 0 for 6 in a big game like this. Like, all I can think back, a guy on Twitter mentioned this to me earlier today. If Robert Covington missed the free throws that Jimmy Butler had missed those free throws,
yep,
we would be setting buildings on fire to get him out of town. Yet when Jimmy Butler misses those free throws, none of us want to admit that maybe these guys aren't as good as we thought they were, and it's much easier to blame Brett than it is to say, hey, Jimmy Butler has to hit those free throws. You know, J.J. Redick can't get a technical in an important situation. Joel Embiid can't rely on, at 7'2", 280, can't rely on a ref to give him a call over Al Horford, who he's got 5 inches and probably 40 pounds on. Like, at a certain point, these guys have to do what their skills are and what they're paid to do. You know,
I was going to say, I don't disagree with you. Like, to me, they lost the game in multiple facets. But I think a lot of this, if you're just going to blame everything on the players, there's points in those games where they're not the ones making the substitution at that point. You had a chance to deliver a knockout blow to me, because the Celtics were reeling at that point. The Sixers were running them down, and the Celtics didn't have any answer. And as soon as you made that substitution, they went on a run themselves and took a one.
They did, and Lance, I get it. And that was a critical point in the game, but the game wasn't lost in a substitution. These games aren't lost in a minute here, a minute there. They're lost in big picture stuff. Joel Embiid said last night he sleptwalked through the first three quarters. That's bigger than any substitution.
Yeah, how does it – if it's – first of all, I don't think that's true. I think Al Horford
plays him well.
Yeah, beat it out of him. But neither one is acceptable. Neither right. one of those things. Sleepwalking through three I'm the biggest Joel Embiid defender there is. I will make excuses for that guy for years and years and years. I love him. I think he has a chance to be the best athlete this town has ever seen. But the fact that he even had the gall to say, I sleptwalked through 3.5 quarters of that game, that is I don't think anyone would say that wasn't the biggest game of the year. It was the biggest yes. game of the year, and he admitted in the post-game press conference that he sleptwalked through it. So either he sleptwalked through it or Al Horford, you know, forced him to be bad, but neither one is good enough.
And then we have to have the funny mic drop. Like, I love Joel, too, and he's funny, and I love that he's the face of this of sports in this city. I don't want to hear that after the game. Like, that was clearly to get a sound bite. Like, I know he's frustrated, but he's trying to be funny all the time. Like, that at the end of the game, that the refs suck. Joel, I don't care. At that point, I don't care. Keep it to yourself. And we all know that was a bad call anyway. You don't have to tell me it's a bad call. You didn't play well enough. I don't care that the ref missed the call.
If you didn't sleepwalk through 3.5 quarters, maybe that call wouldn't have been.
Maybe you're up 7 at that point.
Yeah,
and we're talking
yeah.
about something totally different. 888-729-9494, #9494. That is a hop in our. Here's what we have coming up the rest of this hour, right to Ricky Sanchez Radio. We will have your reaction here, players or the coach last night. Who is more to blame for that loss to the Celtics? And don't forget, the end of this hour, because we don't have a process pregame this hour. That's coming up next hour. Sixers, Knicks tonight. We do have to go through the Keith Pompey comment section, Spike.
Yes.
Which the people
dramatic
need.
Readings of the Keith Pompey. And I can't imagine they were very happy after last night.
Oh, no, they were not happy. So we have some thoughts from the people in the Keith Pompey comment section.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.